B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Tainis Daf Yud Daled. We're going to start 17 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara is now going to bring three different brises, and the Gemara is going to note that they seem to be contradicting each other. And we're going to read the brises in the way the Gemara is going to explain it, and that way they will all make sense to us. Tanya Choda, in one brisa we learnt, Ubrois, pregnant women, umenikois, and nursing women, misanois, they fast, borishoinois. And we've already seen before in the Mishnayos that there were three sets of public fasts that were decreed in the event that the rain didn't come when they were supposed to come down. There was the first three fasts, the second three fasts, and the final seven fasts. So the Braisa says that Ubrois, umenikois, misanois, they fast, borishoinois, meaning the middle three. Of course, it could mean the first set, which is the first three. But then there's going to be a contradiction with the next brisa. So we're going to learn that Rishonos means the one before the last set, which is the second set of three. Ve'in misanois be'achronos. But in the last set of fast days, which are 7 days, that's too long for women, these women, more vulnerable women, the ubrois umenikois, that the seven fasts, they do not need to fast. V'tani edoch, in another brisa, it says, misanois ba'achroinois, they fast in the second, a later group, and we're now going to explain it means the second set, v'ein misanois borishoinois, but they do not fast in the first set, because the first set is a much more lenient fast set of fasts. The tragedy of the lack of rain is not yet as severe, and therefore they do not need to fast those first fasts. V'tanya edoch, in yet a third brisa it says, ein misanois, they do not fast, loy borishoinois, not in the first group of fast days, v'loy b'achroinois, nor in the last group of the seven fasts. And it seems from this brisa that they only fast the middle set. And the way we've learned it, the three brisas do not contradict each other. Because according to all three brisas, the first set of fasts, three fasts, the last set of fasts, the seven fasts, they do not fast. And only the middle set of fasts, the middle set of three fast days, they do fast. And that's congruent with all three brisas. Where did I get that from? From Ravashi, Omer Ravashi, Nekoit Emtze'isa B'yodcha. If you understand that it's the middle fast days which are the ones that they fast, Demetaratzon Kulu, and that way all the three brises are well understood and not contradicting each other. That's how Rashi and Tosfos explain this Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Ma elu yaseiros ala rishonos. This takes us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that the last set of fasts are more stringent than the set before it, the middle set of fasts. That ma elu yaseiros ala rishonos. What are the stringencies of this last set of fasts? Elo shebe elu, these last, the seven fasts, masrin, there's a certain crying out. We'll soon see how. When we learned the Mishnah, we explained it means that they cry out with a shofar, they sound the sound of a shofar, and that's going to be one of the ways, and we're soon going to see that's going to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that that's what it means. And they would lock the shops, and that was part of the stringencies of the last fast. Asks the Gemara, but my masrin, when it says masrin, they cry out, how do they do that? Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shofaros, they cry out, which means it's the cry of the shofar. Rabbi Yehuda b'rei, derv Shmuel bar Shilas, mishmei derav, it was said in the name of Rav, he learns that, Omar b'aneinu. It means the saying of aneinu, and this doesn't mean the tefillah of aneinu, which we discussed earlier on, is either said by an individual in the Shema Kileinu, or it's said by as a separate bracha between Goyel Yisrael and Rafa'enu. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking here about now saying in the slichos they would say, and after the davening they would say, in a very loud voice, they would cry out, Aneinu Avinu, Aneinu, answer us, our father, answer, Aneinu Elokei Avram, the God of Avram, answer, Aneinu Elokei Yitzchok, Aneinu, Aneinu Elokei Yaakov, Aneinu, as it's said at the end of the Slichos, and that's what it means, that they would cry out in these 7 fast days, the last group of fasts, they would say Aneinu. And that's what the Mishnah means, Masrin, according to Rav. Says the Gemara, Kasol Kodaitoch, at this point the Gemara assumes that Mando Omar Ba'aneinu, the Rav who says that Masrin in the Mishnah means that they would say these Aneinu in the Slichos, Loi Omar B'Shofaris, he would, according to that opinion, they would not sound the Shofaris. Umando Omar B'Shofaris, according to Rav Yehuda who says they would cry out with the Shofar, Loi Omar Ba'aneinu, then they would not say the Aneinu. And the question on this is, V'hotanya, Ein Poichasin Mishiva Tainyos Al HaTzibur, the last group of Tainyos on the Tzibur, which is the 7 Tainyos, Shebohen Yud Ches Hasrois, that in those brachas, those extras, in those 7 fasts, on each of the fasts, they would add in, as we're going to see later in the Masechta, they would add in an extra 6 brachos, and with each of these extra 6 brachos, they would sound a Teruah, and the Teruah is actually a combination of 3 sounds, a Tkiah, a Teruah, and a Tkiah. And that's what they would do on each of these fast days. There would be 18 hasrois, 18 cryings out with the shofar. For Simon Nadova, the way to remember how they would do this crying out is Yerichoi. How did they conquer Yerichoi? They conquered Yerichoi with shofars. So we see in this brisa of Yerichoi b'shofaris hava. Utyuvte lemando Omar ba'aneinu. And this brisa clearly seems to say that on these 7 fasts, they would cry out using a shofar, not with saying Aneinu. So the Gemara is asking, is this a question on Rav, who says that they would cry out saying Aneinu? Elo says the Gemara, no. B'shofarois tekule alma lo pligi dekori lehasra. Our Mishnah is talking about, when it says in our Mishnah that they would cry, they would cry out, it definitely means with a shofar, as we just saw in the brisa, that these 7 fasts, they would cry out with the shofar. And that's the Simon Nadavar, Yerichoi, as they did with Yerichoi. Ki pligi, what's the machlokes, Rav Yehuda and Rav, is talking about other challenges, when there's other types of difficult situations that are befalling the community, and then the Chachomim would decree a fast days, not regarding the rain that we're talking about here, just other types of calamities and challenges, and then that's the machlekas, when they would cry out, would it be with Aneinu or not? Ki pligi ba'aneinu. Mar sovar kori le'asra. According to Rav, saying Aneinu is called a hasra, and that's what they would do in the other fasts. Or mar sovar lo kori le'asra. According to Rav Yehuda, it's only Shofaris is called a crying out. Saying Aneinu in the Slichos is not considered a crying out. And therefore, they would not, even on the other times where they would decree fast days, it would be with the Shofar and not with Aneinu. Leman d'Omar ba'Aneinu kol shkein b'Shofaris. According to the opinion that says that Aneinu is called a crying out, even more so, he definitely agrees that crying out with a Shofar is called a hasra, is called a Teruah. Lamando Amar B'Shofaris, the opinion who says that Shofaris is considered a Teruah, Aval B'Aneinu Loi, but he may well hold that Aneinu, saying Aneinu is not considered Masrin. Asks the Gemara, V'Otanya, did we not learn? V'Shar Kol Mine Poronyos, Hamisrakshos, whenever there's another time, different types of challenges, not the lack of rain that we're all discussing here, which we just said now in the Mishnah, that the Brisa, the way the Brisa explains and the way we understand our Mishnah, it means that they would sound the shofar according to all opinions. And the whole discussion is when there's other problems, the Brisa says, V'shar kol minei poronyos has misrakshos. Kagoin, for example, what other types of challenges would there be? Chichuch, if there would be a type of an illness of where people are very itchy, they feel they have to scratch themselves. Chagav, or locusts. Zvuv, flies. Vetzira, wasps. Yutushim, mosquitoes. Vishiluach, nechoshim, or when Hashem dispatches snakes, vakrabim, and scorpions. Loi hoyu masri'in, they would not cry out, as in a type of crying called masri'in. Elotzeakin, what they would do is they would shout out with their mouths. So what do we see in this brisa clearly? Midat tzaoka bepe, since tsa'oka, shouting, is always done with the mouth, hasra, then when it says masrin, because it says lo yahu masrin elo tsoyakin. So the word masrin must mean hasra is b'shoifrois. So from the fact that only shofar is called hasra, but the tsa'oka is not called hasra, you see here clearly that shouting out with the mouth by verbal expression is not considered a hasra. And that's contrary to what Rav said that with the saying, with the expression of anenu, which is speaking with the mouth, is called hasra. So this braisa seems to be contradicting what Rav said. Says the Gemara, no, tanoihi, it's actually machlekes tanoim. You're right that in this braisa it's clear that verbal expression is not considered a hasra. Rav said verbal expression, saying anenu, is considered hasra, because Rav is following a different braisa. The Tanya we learnt in a braisa, al elu masri'in b'Shabbos. And the following, we do masri'in, we cry out even on Shabbos. On which issues do we cry out even on Shabbos? Al ir shehikifua gayis, on a city that the army has surrounded it. Oy nohor, or a river that is threatening to flood the surrounding fields and homes, v'al sfino hamaturefes bayam, or a ship that's struggling at sea. Rabbi Yossi said, le'ezra avloy le'tzoka, which means that we shout out for people to come and help the situation, but lo le'tzoka, we don't like cry out in tefillah in davening, because since we're not sure that our tefillahs are going to be answered, therefore on Shabbos we do not daven for salvation of these things, but we are allowed to cry out for people to come and help us. So what do we see from here? That the term used, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, B'mai, how are they doing masri'in? How are they calling out on Shabbos? Ilema b'shayfres, are they sounding shayfres? Shayfres b'shabbos mishari? Are you allowed to blow a shayfa on Shabbos? Of course not. Elolav ba'anenu. It must be that the what we're discussing here is the crying out to say anenu v'kori lehasra, and nonetheless the braisa calls it hasra, a type of a crying out. Shma minos, Rav learns from this braisa clearly that the word masri'in can also mean verbal expression of anenu. Continues the Gemara, b'shoni, in the years during the lifetime of the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, this was the grandson of the original Rabbi Yehuda Anossi who compiled the Mishnayos. Havatzara, there was a very big challenge at Tsar, that Goz and Gozar Tlas Esrei Tainius. And in the same way as we saw that regarding the rain, if no rain comes down, then they would decree 13 fasts, first three and then another three, and then another seven. So he decreed there would be 13 fasts. V'loy en, and they still were not answered. Savar lemigzar tfei. So this Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, he was contemplating telling people to continue fasting. He was going to decree even more fasts. Omale Rab Ami. So Rab Ami, he told this Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Hare Omru. Did they not say, we're about to see where they said this, but did they not say, Ein matrichin es atzibur yosem idai, that you should not bother the community, the public, too much. You've already made them fast 13 fasts, that's it, don't make them fast anymore. Omer b'abba b'reid r'b'chia b'abba. So Rab Abba explained, Rab Ami da'ovad l'garmehu da'ovad. Rab Abba maintained that when Rab Ami, who challenged Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and said that it's too much of a bother to make the public fast even more than 13 fasts, the truth is he had his own comfort in mind on a certain level, because he did not want to fast any more than those 13 original fast days. So Rabbi Abba, he undermined what Rabbi Ami said. Elohocha Omar Abchia Bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yechanon. Rather, Rabbi Abba said that the following was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon. Lo yishonu elo legishomim. This that we saw in our Mishnayos, that there's only 13 fasts and not more, is only when the rain doesn't come down. Avel ashar minei puronyos, but when there's other troubles that befall the community, then misanin v'holchin ad sheyanu min hashamayim. And as we saw from Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi Yechanon explained that regarding the famine, indeed we do not decree more than the 13 fasts. However, other issues, then we continue fasting until Hashem has mercy and answers us. Tanin Amyachi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Kesha Omru, that when we saw in our Mishnayos that there's Shaloish, that there's the first two sets of fasts of three fast days each. Or Kesha Omru Sheva, and then they said there's another seven after that. That was only regarding famine, was only regarding when the rain didn't come down. However, the other types of challenges, they would fast and continue fasting until they get answered. Says the Gemara, could it be that this is a refutation against what Rav Ami said before? The Rav Ami said, "Ein matrichen es atzibur yoser midai." You should not bother the community too much. And here we see that they continue fasting until they get the salvation. Says the Gemara, "No, amalachar Rav Ami tanoihi." Rav Ami is actually going to be based on a brisa, because the Tanya we learned in the brisa, "Ein goizrin yoser mishloish esrei tanyu yisal atzibur." The reason that with grounding, when the rain doesn't fall down, that there's only 13 fasts, is lefisha ein matrichen es hatzibur yoseh midai. The reason is because in order not to bother the community too much, divrei Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. And according to that understanding, there would be no difference between if the problem is that the rain didn't fall, or if the problem is another problem, another challenge. Either way, and you don't fast more than 13 fasts. And indeed, that's what Rav Ami claimed against Rabbi Yehuda Nasir. However, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, he said there's a different reason why when the rain doesn't come, you only fast 13 fasts. He says, Lo min Hashem hu zeh. The reason is not because we don't want to bother the people too much. Elo mipnei sheyotzo zman osher revia. It's because by the time they're fasted 13 fasts, Monday, Thursday, 13 times, then the opportune time for the rain to fall has passed. And when rain does fall after that, the advantage and benefit is going to be minimal, and therefore they do not make the people fast. However, that's only applicable when the issue is the rain. When there's any other issue, there's no reason to stop fasting after 13 fasts. So according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's understanding, we can understand what Rabbi Yochanan said before, that only regarding the rain that we restrict the number of fast days to 13. However, any other issues that happen, we can continue fasting until they get answered. Continues the Gemara. Shalchu lei b'nei Ninveh, l'Rebbe, the people who lived in Ninveh, which was an interesting place. In Ninveh, we'll soon see those, they had a different, they needed the rain through the, what we know as the summer season. They, in Tammuz, they needed rain. So the people of Ninveh asked Rebbe, Kagoin Anan, in our place, for example, that afilu b'tkufas Tammuz, even in the summer months, in the summer season, ba'inon mitra, we need rain. Heicha navid, when should we say v'sein talu motor? Should we say it ki'ichidim? Are you assuming that we're just like individuals that have our own need, and an individual who has needs adds their needs into the bracha of Shema Keilenu in Shemea Tfila, as we've seen previously, such an example? Dominon, are you comparing us just to private individuals that have a need? Oy, karabim. Or do we say, no, karabim dominon, we are similar to a community, to a public who have a need. And when the public needs rain, for example, everybody else, the people in Eretz Yisrael, they need rain in the winter. Well, in the winter, we say v'sein talu motor in Birchas Hashanim, in Boruch Oleinu. So maybe the people of Ninveh are saying, maybe let us say v'sein talu motor in the Birchas Hashanim. Ki yichidim dominon, are you comparing us to individuals who b'shemea tefila and will say v'sein talu motor in shemea tefila? Oy karabim dominon u b'berchas Hashanim, and we say it in Boruch Oleinu. That was the question that the people of Ninveh posed to Rebbe. Sholach lehu, so Rebbe sent back a message saying, ki yichidim domisu, you're compared just to individuals u b'shemea tefila, and the time that you should say, and the place that you should say v'sein talu motor is in shemea tefila. Meisvei, they asked a question against this. Omer Biuda, Ein Mosai, when, at what point, or when does one have these 13 fasts that we've mentioned in our Mishnayos? That's only Bizman Shashonim Tokitikunom. That's only when the year cycle is a typical year cycle, namely that they reap in Nisan and they sow, they plant in Cheshvan, and the years have not got mixed up. V'Yisrael Shruim al Admosom, and only in Eretz Yisrael, which is that is the place where this is the custom was, that in Nisan they would reap, and in Cheshvan they would need the rain, that's the time where they would sow and plant. Aval Bizman Azeh, however, today, Hakoy Lefi Ashonim, that everything is just according to the needs. If, whenever you need the rain, that's when you say V'Sein Talu Motor. Or if it's a year where it's particularly drought, and you need to ask for rain beyond when you normally would, then it's Hakoy Lefi Ashonim, Hakoy Lefi Amakoymis, depending on the year, on the place, Hakoy Lefi Azman, and depending on the time. So it would seem from here, that from this brisa, that whereas in Eretz Yisrael you say V'Sein Talu Motor in Borich Oleinu because that's called Shonim Kitikunom and Yisrael Shurim Al Admasom, but when things are mixed up or in other places like in Nineveh, then it's Hakoel Lefi, it all depends on the place. And since in Nineveh they need rain in the Tammuz season, in what we would call the summer season, so they would say V'Sein Talu Motor in Borich Oleinu, not like Rebbe answered them and said they should say it in Shema Kileinu. So that was the question. The answer is Omar Lei. They answered Masnita Ramisa Lei de Rebbe. I don't understand. You're asking a question against Rebbe from a Braisa? Rebbe Tanahu Upalig. Rebbe is an authority no less than a Braisa. They're both Tanoim. So Rebbe held that you say it in Shemiat Tfilah, and the Braisa had you say it in Baruch Aleinu. What's the issue with that? My Havala, the Gemara says, okay, what's the bottom line? Who are we ruling like Rebbe or like the Braisa? Rav Nachman Omar Birchas Hashonim. Rav Nachman said that like the Braisa that you say it in Birchas Hashonim. Rav Sheshes Omar B'Shemei Tfilah, the Hilchasa B'Shemei Tfilah, the Aloch is like Rebbe said, that these people who have individual needs or these places that have individual needs, you say V'Sein Talu Motor in Shema Kileinu, in Shemei Tfilah, not in Borich Oleinu. Continues the Gemara. And this taking us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that one of the stringencies of the last set of fasts, the seven fasts at the end, are over the three fasts before that, is that they would close the shops. However, the Mishnah said that B'sheni Motim in Chashecha, which means that towards the end of the fast, they would be allowed to open the shops, but they wouldn't just open it completely. They would just tilt the doorways a little bit, just allowing people to come in to buy food to break the fast. Ubachamishi, however, on the Thursday fasts, Kol Hayom, they would leave the shops open the whole day, Mipnei Kvoid Shabbos, in respect for Shabbos, people want to do their Shabbos shopping, they should be able to do it on Thursday. So ask the Gemara as follows, Iboiluhu, Heichuk Toni, how are we learning? B'sheini, on the Mondays, Motin Imcha Sheicha, that on the Mondays, towards the end of the fast, they tilt the doors open, just till it gets, till, you know, the last time before the fast, the end of the fast, Uba Chamishi, and on the Thursdays, they are Kol HaYoim, they tilt the doors, what we call Motin, what the Mishnah calls Motin, they slightly open the doors all day, not just the last few hours or minutes before the end of the fast, B'Pnei Kveida Shabbos. Is that how we're supposed to understand the Mishnah? Or Dilma, maybe B'Sheini Motin, as we said, Ubachamishi Poischin Kol HaYoim Kuloi. So the question of the Gemara is that it's clear in the Mishnah that on the Mondays, the shops were closed until the last part of the fast, where they would slightly open the doors for people to come and buy what they need to break the fast. That's clear. On the Thursdays, however, all it said in the Mishnah was Kol HaYoim, all day, in respect for Shabbos. But we don't know what they would do all day. Does it mean their shops would be wide open all day on Thursdays? Or does it mean that the shops would just be slightly, the doors would be tilted, would be a bit open all day in respect to Shabbos, but not that the doors would be entirely open? That was the question of the Gemara. Tashma, we're going to try and bring proof from a Braisa. The Tani we learnt in a Braisa, B'sheini Motim Ado Erev, B'chamishi Poischin Kol HaYoim Kuloi Mipnei Kvoida Shabbos. That on Monday, the doors are slightly open till the evening. On Thursdays, the doors are open all day in respect for Shabbos. Hoyu lo shnei psachim, if he's got two doors into his shop, p'seach echod, then he only opens one of them. V'noyel echod, and one of them remains shut. Hoyu lo itztaba, keneged pischoi, If, however, if there are benches in front of his door, which means that the public who are fasting are not going to be directly exposed to the shops and to the food in it, so it's not going to cause them anguish that whilst they're fasting, they're being exposed to all this food, then if he's got such a bench in front of his doorway, then he can open it up regularly and not worry at all. Besheni, on the Monday fasts, Motin Ad Ho'erev, as we saw till now in the Mishnayos, in the Mishnah, that the doors would be tilted open in the last hours before the end of the fast. Or Bechamishi, on the Thursday fasts, Poischin, here adds explicitly in the Braisa the word Poischin, which means that the doors were properly open, Kol Hayom Kuloi, the whole day, Mipnei Kveida Shabbos, because of the honor of Shabbos. So it's clear that on the Thursdays they wouldn't just have the doors being motim, rather they would be completely open. Now regarding the Monday fasts, hoyuloi shnei psachim, if he's got two doors going into his shop, then peseach echod mehem v'noyel echod mehem, then even on the Monday fasts it's sufficient if one of them is wide open and the other one is completely locked. He doesn't need to tilt the door open. And another detail, hoyele itzbe keneged pischo, even if he's only got one door, but if that door has a bench in front of it, and therefore the people walking past the shop are not going to be directly and exposed to the food in the shop, which is going to make it a challenge for them whilst they're in fasting and not eating anything, and they're being exposed to all the food in the shop, that's going to be very challenging for them. But if there's a bench in front of the entranceway, then there's no reason to have to tilt the doorway, and even on the Monday fast, they could keep the doors completely open. He can leave the doors completely open and not be concerned. And in the case where he's got two doors, that normally what opens the shop is two doors, then that's what exposes what's in the shop. And now he's only opening one of the two doors, that's similar to the motin, and therefore he can have it completely open, because since only half the entranceway is going to be open, that's considered similar to motin. Continues the Gemara. Avru elu v'lo inenu. If these 13 fasts passed and it's still not yet been answered and the rain is not coming down, then mematin b'maso maton, they would minimize the amount of work they're doing, ubebinyan ubenetia, and they would minimize building and they would minimize planting. And the Gemara is going to discuss that. Tana, b'binyan, what type of building would they refrain from doing? Would they minimize? Binyan shel simcha. Only a type of building, we'll soon see what it is, but it's a type of building which is one of extra joy and happiness. Natiya, what planting would they minimize? Natiya shel simcha. Again, only a type of planting that's directly associated to simcha. Eizeh u'binyan shel simcha. What would be an example of a binyan shel simcha? Zeh aboyna beis chasnus lebenoi. If somebody is building a home, what's called beis chasnus, is the place where the canopy, the place where his son is going to go into the chuppah, that is a building which is purely simcha, is marrying off his son, and therefore that should not be done during a time where there's so much distress and there's no rain. Eizeh u'netiyah shel simcha, what's considered a planting of simcha? Zeh hanoteya abvarnaki shel hamelochim. If it's a type of a tree, if they would typically, when a prince was born, the son of the king was born, they would plant a tree for royalty, for this, in the name of this prince, and when he would actually be coronated, when he would become the king, then they would make a chair, a throne, from that tree. And since the planting a tree on the day that this child is born is a something of simcha, a bavarnaki shel melachim, therefore they would not do, in this time where everybody's stressed and in pain, they should not do this type of planting. It continues the Gemara, b'she'elas shalom. We also saw in the Mishnah that they would not be asking each other, saying shalom, they would not be greeting each other in the regular way. Tanu rabbanon. Chaverim, the Talmidei Chachomim, ein shoelim shalim b'neim. They would not greet each other with shalim at all. Amehoretz. However, the simple people who they were not aware and they were not keeping all the details of these halachas, shoelim, in the event that they would say shalim to the Talmidei Chachomim, then machzirin lohem, Then the Talmud Chacham, in order that he shouldn't cause a rift, he shouldn't cause pain, he shouldn't cause a separation between people, eva and hatred, they should answer to the Amei Haaretz, they should respond in kind and say Shalom, Machzir Lehem. However, they should do it b'safa rafa, they should do it with a low tone, u'b'kovid roish, and in a solemn type of matter, because what the situation was, that the community was being very anguished by the fact that there was no rain. V'hein mis'atfin, they would wrap, these Talmidei Chachamim would wrap themselves, v'yoshvim, and they would sit ka'aveilim, like people in mourning, or k'menudim, or like those who have been excommunicated, k'pnei adam hanazufim lamokim, is similar to people who have been rebuked by Hashem, ad shirachmu aleihem min hashamayim, until Hashem has mercy on them. Continues the Gemara, Omer Abelaza, ein adam choshuv, a respectful, prominent person, should not Roshoi is not allowed to be lipoil alponov. They would fall on their faces whilst they were davening. Then he's not allowed to do that. Elohim keinene ki Yeshua binun, unless he's somebody who's known that his tefillahs get answered, like Yeshua binun's tefillahs get answered. Because if he doesn't get answered, people will ridicule him and say, "You see, you're doing this type of gesture, this type of service to Hashem, and Hashem's not even answering you. It seems you're not even such a tzaddik that you're making out, etc., etc." Therefore, unless you know that you're on that level, at least publicly, you should not be falling down on your face, or noifel alponov, in public. Shenemer, as it says by Yeshua ben Nun, where do we see that Yeshua ben Nun, this type of gesture, actually brought them salvation? It says in the Pasuk in Yeshua, Vayomer Hashem el Yeshua, kum, raise, kum loch, lomo ze'ata noifel alponecho. That Hashem said to him that you can raise, you don't need to anymore be falling on your face, and the salvation was there. Hashem answered the tefillah. Another statement from Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Adam Choshev Roshoi Lech Gersak, a prominent and respected person should not gird sackcloth, Elohim Keinen, unless he knows he's going to be answered, Ki Yehoram Ben Achov, Shenemer, it says regarding Yehoram Ben Achov in Melachim Beis, it says, "Vayihi chishmoya hamelech es divrei isha, vayikra es begodov, v'hu oiver al hachoimo, vayar ha'om v'hinei hasak al basoroi miboyis." He was wearing sack, and he was answered consequent to that gesture and that tefillah that he had. So anybody whose tefillahs are not going to be answered, like Yehoram ben Achov, should refrain from girding the sackcloth. Another statement from Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Loi hakol bikriya, not everybody should be tearing their clothes, v'loi hakol b'nefila, and that means not everybody gets answered when they rent their clothes, and not everyone gets answered by nefila when they fall on their faces. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila, they were answered when they fell on their faces. We'll soon see what the source is. Yeshua v'Kolev, however, Yeshua and Kolev, they were answered b'kriya, they were answered by renting their clothes. And for them, it was not yet enough to be answered just by Nefila. Even though we just saw that Yeshua was answered by Nefila, that's after he became a leader. But that Yeshua v'Kolev, before that Yeshua became a leader, then he needed kriya and not Nefila. That's how the Marsha explains this. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila, what's the source that Moshe and Aaron, they were answered when they fell on their faces? Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'yipol Moshe v'Aaron al p'neim, lifnei kol kahal adas b'nei Yisrael. Yeshua v'Kolev b'kriya, where do we see that Yeshua and Kolev would rent their clothes? Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'Yeshua b'nun v'Kolev ben Yefunom min hatorim mes'oretz, they were two of the 12 spies, and they were the only two that remained tzaddikim, koru bigdehem, they tore their clothes. Maskif lo Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira asked, v'item Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni, I have a ksiv Yehoshua k'dekomrus. If the Pasuk would have said, Yehoshua bin Nun v'kolev ben Yefunah min atorim es ha'oretz koru bigdehem, then Yeshua and Kolev rent their clothes, then it would be like you're saying, that they were answered with tearing their clothes and not with noifel al paneim. Hashtu dechsiv v'yeshua, the fact that it says the extra vav, ha v'ha ovid, it would seem that he did both. Not like it seemed before that Yeshua and Kalev were answered by renting their clothes and not by falling on their faces. That's not accurate, because they also fell on their faces, and besides for that, they will tear the clothes. And that was a question that was asked by Rab Zeira or Rab Shmuel ben Nachmeni. So according to this, you have no proof that Yeshua was answered by renting his clothes on its own, independently, without falling on his face, because it could well be that they did that as well. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rabbi Elazar, another statement from Rabbi Elazar, Loi hakil bekimo, v'loi hakil b'shtachavoya. When Klal Yisrael are going to be redeemed, not all the nations are going to receive us and greet us by raising before us, and not all are going to greet us by prostrating, by bowing before us. Melochim, the kings of the nations, Bekimo, they will raise for us. Vesorim, and the nobles, Bishtachavoya, they will bow to us. Melochim Bekimo, where do we see that the kings are going to bow to us when we're redeemed from this exile? Tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Koyo Mar Hashem, so says Hashem, Goel Yisrael, the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael, Kadoshoi, the It's Holy One, Livzoi Nefesh, to the degraded soul, or degraded spirit, referring to Klal Yisrael, Limesoiv Goy, to a detested nation, Le'eved Moishlim, to those that ruled over by others, that when they get redeemed, Melochim, the kings, Yiru, will witness that, V'komu, and stand, V'sorim, and the nobles, Bishtachavoy. The pasuk goes, Melochim Yiru Vekomu, Sorim Veyishtachavu, Leman Hashem Hashaneman Kadesh Yisrael Veyivchorecho. That's what it says in the pasuk. So the Gemara brings that from the first part of that pasuk, where it says that Melochim Yiru, the kings will witness Vekomu and raise, from there we see that it's the Melochim, the kings, are going to greet Klal Yisrael by standing, by raising. And Vesorim Bishtachavoya, where do we see that the nobles are going to greet Klal Yisrael with bowing? Tichsiv, it says in that same pasuk, Sorim Vishtachavu, that it's the nobles are going to bow. Maskif lo Rab Zeira, Vitemi Rab Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Rab Zeira or Rab Shmuel bar Nachmeni asked that, how do you see from here that the nobles will only bow and the kings will only be the ones who are going to raise? That's not necessarily accurate. It certainly doesn't have to mean that way in the pasuk. If the pasuk would have said Melochim Yiru Vakomu, that the kings will witness and raise and stand, Vesorim Yishtachavu, and the nobles will bow, then if it would say Vesorim Yishtachavu Kudukomus, then you would understand what you, Rabbi Elazar, are saying. Hashta, but now Dechsiv, it says Sorim Vayishtachavu. The pasuk says Melochim Yiru Vakomu, Sorim Vayishtachavu. It could well be that they were doing both, also raising and also bowing. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, a final statement in a similar theme as Rabbi Elazar. Afani Oimer, I also say, Loi HaKoil Lo'ira, ultimately when Klal Yisrael are going to be redeemed and Mashiach is going to come, Lo'asid Lovoi, not everybody is going to bask in the light, not everybody is going to merit the same levels of simcha. Tzadikim lo'ira, primarily the tzadikim will deserve in appreciating the special spiritual light that's going to emanate then. V'yesharim, and it's the upright, the simcha, who will be those who will be happy. Tzadikim lo'ira d'chsev, oiru zoru ala tzadik. The light is planted for the tzadik. V'leisharim simcha, where do we see in the pasuk that for the upright are going to merit simcha, happiness, d'chsev, it says in the pasuk, v'leyishrei lev, to the straight and upright in the heart, simcha, they will merit simcha. Hadron aloch me'emosai, b'siyata d'shmai, we finished learning the first perek of Maseches Tainis. We're going to do chazor emirat Hashem, and in the next shir we're going to continue the next perek.